KIRP Radio!
Welcome, folks. Welcome, welcome, welcome. That was a very different intro. I wasn't even expecting that myself. God, we did that. But welcome, everybody, to the KIRP Radio Show. I'm your host, Pudgy, as normal, every Sunday, same time, same place. You guys know how we do this thing, man. And it's a pleasure to have everybody here with us. A little bit under the weather. My voice is gone just a little bit. It is that time of the season. And for all you folks out there who have been listening to the show, you guys know, I mean, over the past few years, you guys know that I get the sinus trouble this time of the year, man. And it's horrible. So I'll be dealing with this thing for the next couple months. Just ask you guys to bear with me as I sniff and sneeze and blow my nose and cough and spread all my germs to all you guys out there over the KIRP radio waves. If you guys are on Twitter, let me just go ahead and throw that out there right now. I'm not the Twitter interactor that much. Like I'm really not on Twitter that often, and I try my best to get on there more frequent. But you know, time is limited, and you know it is what it is. And you stretch pretty thin, and you know you got people tweeting for you and blogging for you, but even that's limited for me. Like I like to be hands on, but it's impossible to cover all of these social media sites and to be a presence on these sites. So I've been told that I don't say the Twitter tagline enough, so I'm just gonna throw it out there as much as possible. For all my folks out there that are on Twitter, make sure you hit us up on Twitter at symbol KIRP Radio Show. And you can find me on Twitter at symbol NC Pudgy. Sometimes I'm on the KIRP Radio Twitter, sometimes I'm not. You may be dealing with a whole host of different people, but we all think the same for the most part. So, you know, when you insult me, insult them as well. We also on Facebook. Check us out on Facebook. That's facebook.com/KIRP Radio Show. Leave your comments, your thoughts on there. We do a lot of Facebook interacting, and what happens is that kind of spills over into Twitter. Somewhat. I think we could do a better job at that, but we're working on it. So, check us out on social media, and I'm on Indeed, and we're all over the place. Cloud and all these different websites that you guys frequent. We're all over the place. So make sure you check us out on them and give us a shout out, a follow, or whatever it is you do on these social media sites. Also, if you guys are on Twitter, I got to mention a special guest that we're going to bring here on the show in just a few minutes. And he's a great individual. It's definitely an informational Twitter page to follow. This guy is I don't know, they just tell the truth. It's Texas Fair Taxer. Make sure you check out Robert Williams at symbol TXFAIRTAXER, and you'll get nothing but the truth on that Twitter page. I like that Twitter page. I try to check it out, and he's got a link to his blog and website and a few more other things going on out there. But Robert Williams would be our guest tonight. Make sure you guys check out Robert Williams, and he's going to come on here and tell you guys a little bit about the fair tax. Actually, a lot about the fair tax. And speaking on the fair tax, shout out to all my people out there in Raleigh. I'm trying my best not to criticize our first Republican Party majority in over 120 years here in North Carolina. Try my best not to criticize these people because, nothing happens overnight. And I understand that. It seems that the general public does not understand that, and it seems like the general public could care less about that. People don't read what's really going on. What happens is people read commentary from the person that they respect the most, that they think know about politics. Or they follow the smartest person on their Facebook page, and whatever they say about politics is law. Whatever they say about politics is truth. Same thing for Twitter, and again, all these other social media sites. Or let's bring it a little bit more personal, because everybody's not on the internet. Everybody is not on the social media. So it's the smartest person in your church. It's your pastor. It's the smartest person in your uncle, or the most smartest person in your family, the most successful person in your family, whether it be a grandma, grandpa, mom, dad, uncle, cousin, whoever. That's what people generally do. They ask the people that they hold or that they view most successful about things that happens in politics, whether they are right or wrong, whether they are experts in the field or not, whether they read or not, whatever those people say is law. And frankly, let me see if I can... I'm not going to downplay it. That's stupid. That's stupid. I'm not calling you stupid, but that is stupid. A lot of the times, listen, just because your pastor preached a good sermon on Sunday morning or Wednesday night or Friday or last revival or whatever, just because your pastor got the best floor cleaning business in the city, just because your uncle made $20,000 in his business but never really worked a day in his life, just because your uneducated cousin can sell CDs on the corner or can open a fingernail polish shop and clean feet or whatever you want to call it, that does not make them political savvy. That doesn't make them understand what's really going on in politics. So just like me, now I'm not taking away their right to be able to talk about things. Okay, I'm not taking, and again, you also got to remember, just because people understand politics don't mean they understand money. That's a whole different light. That's a whole different topic. So when it comes to taxes and your bank account and you doing what's best for your family and understanding money and understanding taxes and the whole tax structure, because let's face it, most tax professionals don't even understand the tax code. I mean, let's just call it what it is. So when it comes to topics like that, what you should do is consult a bipartisan expert or read it for yourself. Look up the definitions and understand it for you. You don't need people trying to further their agenda or try to gain some follower by spreading nothing but wrong information, because that's what a lot of people do. They don't commonly give the proper information or the rightful information about taxes or the whole tax structure, especially politically speaking. You know, people are going to talk about, they're going to use talking points that support their cause or that supports their party. You know, so a lot of times what we find is people giving advice and talking about taxes and trying to educate you on taxes, but they didn't read it for themselves either. You know, a lot of the times these folks, if they're Democrat, they're probably listening to Al Sharpton and the rest of the crew talking about how taxes are unbalanced and how taxes are discriminatory and this, that, and the other. You know, if they're Republican, they're probably listening to Rush talk about taxes, and Rush ain't hurt for a dollar in at least the last 30, 40 years. So, you know, these people, they can't tell you exactly what the tax structure means for you. They're looking at it from their light, from their perspective. A lot of the times they read it and they talk about the facts in the tax code, but they don't talk about it first person in terms of what it can mean for you. They can never sit in your, you know, they can never get behind your skin. They can never put on your shoes and tell you what this means for you. They can only read it off and give you their best guess assumption. Now, sometimes people are fair. You know, sometimes you'll get people like myself and they'll read it off verbatim, and then it is what it is. But even me, you know, when I read it, I'm talking about what it's going to do to me. And a lot of times I'm talking from an aspect of, let me keep it real. I'm not the only person out here talking about it, right? I'm not even going to down myself like that to make a lot of people feel comfortable. When I'm talking about the truth on anything, a lot of the times I talk about it from my perspective, and then I talk about it from people who live a better life than me. You could call them rich, wealthy, whatever you want to call them. I talk about it from an entrepreneur standpoint, but I also talk about it from people who are poor, you know, people who don't understand the tax structure, people who would never read the tax code. So what I try to do is cover all bases on this and talk about what the truth is in the tax code and what the truth is about money and politics and religion in all walks of life. Okay, I could never understand what it means for you. You know, I can never jump behind your skin and tell you exactly how you feel about it. You know, I would have to listen to people that's like you or listen to you, and you guys would have to interact and we talk it out. And in talking it out, you know, the communication is what we hold valuable about things, because if you communicate about things, everybody will understand a little bit more clearer. We don't have to agree, but if we're able to communicate and talk about it, we'll feel better about it as we go along, because maybe you'll understand my point of view, and maybe I'll understand your point of view, or maybe we won't. Maybe we'll just walk away and say, you know what, that guy's crazy, but hey, at least I heard where he was coming from. So, you know, that's what we do on the show, and that's why we invited my man Robert Williams to come on the show. Again, his Twitter is @TXFairTaxer. Make sure you guys add him, check him out, send him a tweet, let him know you heard him on the KRP radio show. We got to go to a commercial, and when we come back, we're going to be talking to Charlotte Holder from StretchingYourBudget.com. Rock with me, folks. We'll be right back. Don't forget, 619-638-8559. You can hit us up on phone and just listen to the show. We won't bother you. Hit number one if you got a comment, but if you don't, we won't bother you. We'll just let you sit there on the show and listen and listen and listen, and my producers won't even bother your phone numbers. We, you know, we'll just let you sit there and you know, do whatever it is that you do. We're also on Twitter, @NCPudgy. It's me, @KRP Radio Show. And you can also check us out on Blog Talk. That's blogtalkradio.com/KRP Radio Show. Check us out on there. You can also check all the logs and all the back shows and the archives and comments and video and, you know, things of that nature. Also, you can check us out on, where else are we, folks? Oh, yeah, YouTube. Check out some of the YouTube videos. Some you might like, some you might not like. YouTube.com/KRP Radio Show. You listen to Pudgy, man. We'll be right back after these messages.
Could switching to Geico really save you 15% or more on car insurance? Did the little piggy cry wee, wee, wee all the way home?
Wee! Wee, wee, wee! Wee! you're home.
Oh, cool. Thanks, Mrs. A.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
The one I came 60,000 North Carolina families are affected by autism. One out of every 110 children born today will be diagnosed with autism. If you have any questions or need support, we can help. The Autism Society of North Carolina can be reached at 800-442-2762. Again, that's 800-442-2762. Remember, 60,000 North Carolina families are affected by autism, and one out of every 110 children born will be diagnosed with autism as well. If you need to reach them by the web, the address is www.autismsociety-nc.org. You can also reach them on Facebook, Twitter, and you can reach them on YouTube. Love somebody today. Welcome back, folks, to the KIRP Radio Show. This Sunday, it is 8:17 p.m., September 8th, and we are happy to be on this show doing what we do best. Well, some people might not think we do best, but I think we do best. You know, I don't care much about people's opinion. You know, I just kind of live through it and live on and keep rocking. But I love everybody, man, so, you know, I always listen to what you guys got to say. Anyway, welcome to the show, none other than the superstar of this show. I mean, a lot of people, you listen to the show just to hear her talk, and then you hang up, and that's cool. I'm jealous, but it's okay. And her name is Charlotte Holder. She's the architect and the creator of StretchingYourBudget.com. Make sure you guys check that website out. She comes on here at 8:15 every Sunday when I don't talk too much, and she drops some jewels on living a little bit more frugal. So welcome to the show, Charlotte Holder. How are you, Charlotte?
Doing well. How are you?
I am hoarse again, and you know how it is this time of the year.
Football season.
Hard. There you go. Football season and the allergies, and my team kicked butt.
I know you too well.
That's how it is with family. So, what are you up to?
Nothing. We actually just finished dinner. We ate late tonight. I was like, oh, I was my husband in the kitchen, and he's got the kids and cleaning up. I said, I'll be back. I'm going to lock myself in the bedroom.
Hey, I get it. I'm in the closet right now. Well, not really. But anyway, so what do you got for us this week, Charlotte? I know you got something pretty special for us this week.
Well, honestly, no, I don't have anything planned, but, you know, I can always talk about anything to do with saving money. So, do you have any questions you, like, would want to ask? Or if not, I can come up with something, no big deal.
Well, we're talking about taxes this week, and, you know, North Carolina changes individual tax. Some changes are going to take place in 2014. Some changes are going to take place in 2015. And I was just wondering... in terms of saving, you know, you do a lot of, I almost said hoarding, but I'm not going to say that. You do a lot of stocking.
No, that's not what I do.
A lot of bulk buying and that sort of thing. So are there any, you know, we always talk about the benefits to it, but are there any drawbacks to you know, buying a lot of bulk loads at one time and you know, or putting a lot of money away at one time? Or are there any negatives to that?
I mean, there can be negatives, but it depends on what type of food you're buying. A lot of people think they can only do, like, canned goods or boxed, you know, stuff that has preservatives. And while that's true, you can also do a ton of items and freeze them. So you can buy in bulk and prepare ahead. That's something that we're trying in our house to do. Just with the crazy lifestyle and being busy, and just trying to eat, you know, a little bit better. So we're trying to do that and freeze. So, like, if I make a big lasagna or something, I'll make two, and I won't bake it. I'll just prepare it, and then I'll freeze it so that all I have to do is pull it out and put it in the oven for a busy night. So you could just go and buy a lot of your stuff at one time and then put it all together and freeze it. Or if you just want to individually wrap things, like chicken, you can we have like a food saver, so we just individually wrap them so we don't have to take an entire package out and defrost it. We just take the chicken breast out as we need it type thing. That's good for people that, you know, are single or just two, like a couple. You know, a lot of times people ask me, how can I buy in bulk or how can I coupon when it's just the two of us or the one of me, you know? And so those are some good tips, too, for people out there that are looking for that type of thing. And you can, you know, prepare one big item and individually package it into your freezer and freeze it. And you've heard me talk about a lot, and it's something that I love, and that's just to have an extra freezer, whether it's a chest freezer or a stand-up freezer. And we have one, and I mean, I would die if I didn't have it. So if you don't have one, and even if it's just one or two people in your household, they have smaller chest freezers that you can get. A friend of mine has one that they keep, and it's, you know, just a smaller size. So it doesn't have to be on the large scale. Just you have to find what meets your lifestyle, and that's something that I've always said. So, yeah, so buying in bulk, even if you want to buy fruits, vegetables, that kind of thing, you can freeze all that stuff. Freeze fruit, you can make smoothies with it. You have it all winter long while things are good. We did a garden, so, you know, we'll try to can stuff and just keep things so that we have fresh stuff throughout the year. So it doesn't have to just be perishable and things that are not good for you. You can still eat good and buy in bulk. So I definitely encourage it. But do you know, and I've talked about this before too, with buying in bulk, you have to be careful because you need to make sure it's a really good deal that you're buying it at. I don't like to just go to a big box store and buy a bunch of stuff, and it may or may not be a good deal. So there's a catch-22, you know, for me. But for the most part, if I find something that's a really good deal, I will buy a lot of it. And most people do call that hoarding, but as long as you use it, then I don't consider it hoarding. Hoarding is where you hoard something and never touch it for 5 or 10 years. So, yes, buying bulk is definitely good.
I knew better. I was just, you know, taking a shot.
I know. I have people all the time who say, is that not hoarding?
Charlotte, admit it is the first. No, I'm just kidding. So, all right, that's pretty good. I mean, I'm not trying to take more shots at you, but I just do such a bad job at not hoarding, but buying in bulk. I mean, I'm horrible at it, and I know I need to. I mean, we got 80 kids in this house, so I know we need to be better at
that. You got your own football team. Well, and that's the hardest thing whenever I'm teaching people how to coupon. It is the hardest thing for people to grasp. My mother-in-law, for starters, she still doesn't understand or see the point in it. And it's just, why am I buying more than what I need right now? I'm not going to use it. And so many people struggle with that because that is the way that you're raised by your mom, your grandma, and so forth. You just buy what you need. I mean, back in the day, they didn't have refrigerators. You bought for the day, you know? So it's just a lifestyle change, I guess. It's just something, a learning curve is what I kind of try to call it. So it's just learning to the whole goal of saving and couponing, but if you don't coupon, just saving in general, is to find the lowest possible price for the items that you use the most of and buying them when they're at that lowest price. So whether it's couponing or just the sale, if you buy that item all the time, more than likely you're going multiple times to buy this, you know, product, then you should know about the lowest price that you've ever seen it for. And that's when you want to jump on it. And that's when you want to buy a lot of it. For example, like certain items will go on sale at different times of the year based on what it might be. So, like right now, well, a month or so ago, it was cereals and protein bars and all that kind of stuff for back to school. So, you know, and in the summer, it was barbecue sauce and that kind of stuff. So I know that in the summer, barbecue sauce is going to be at lowest price possible because that's when people are grilling out and that kind of thing. So I will buy for the entire year at that time. So people are like, why are you going to do that? But the shelf life is to 2014 or 15. You know, it's 1 to 2 years. And so why not go ahead and buy and have it for the entire year when I've only paid, you know, nothing for it, basically, than when just run into the store and I need it and pay in $3-4. You know, it just doesn't make sense in my mind. So it's just getting past that not using it now part that people struggle with. I mean, everybody struggles with it.
I mean, it's okay to buy as you need. I mean, if you're a great shopper like that, frankly, you just don't have a lot of time to do that. I don't have a lot of time. Well, I'll say we don't have a lot of time to buy as you need. So we try to buy ahead, but, you know, it's also hard to buy so much in bulk because, you know, a lot of times when you go shopping at a supermarket is a mindset. Like, you got to prepare yourself to go, and I just don't do it at all. My wife does it all, and she deals with it. But to me, it's like traffic, man. If I'm shopping, it's just like traffic to me. I can't stand it. So,
I do,
you know,
like,
I have shopping rates like road rage.
Yeah, I like to go when there's nobody else there.
Oh, you said you do late night shopping. I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
Yes.
Well, that's all.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
Yeah, I like to go when I'm like the only one in the store and they're about to close. I mean, you'll see me sometime like 10 or 11 o'clock at the grocery store.
Hey, that's a good thing, man. If you can pull that off, you keep doing it. Shopping at night is great because it's less traffic. Traffic is traffic.
Exactly.
So shopping traffic
and
car traffic to me.
Yeah, most of the people that work there too at night are just kind of like teenagers, young, laid back. They're not uptight, and especially when they're using coupons, it's kind of nice. So they're just kind of like, let's move it on. It's not like somebody's inspecting your every little thing. So.
And, you know, we love deals. So, well, Charlotte.
Yeah.
It is almost time, and we got one more minute, so I'm going to use that 1 minute to ask you for something that I haven't asked for in a very long time.
Shout out.
You know it.
Okay. Shout out to you for being the best football coach ever.
Yes. Thank you. Round of applause.
See, you never get the shout outs. You always give them. So I have to give you show you some love every once in a while.
See, that's B.I.G. right there. Charlotte, you are B.I.G. in my book. I appreciate that. I don't get many shout outs. I get a lot of hate mail. You know, it's all.
Oh,
good.
We shouldn't.
At least my little football players love me, and that's all I ask for. At least most days. Well, maybe 50-50. So,
you know, people always have opinions.
Yeah, they do. Opinions are like a butt. We all got them. But, you know, it is. It's okay. I mean, I'll get over it. I won't cry. You know, I'll just deal with it.
That's right.
And life goes on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So shout out to you and your family, Charlotte. Definitely shout out to the website that you do, stretchingyourbudget.com. I hope everybody checks that out. There's a lot of good information on there, you know, on ways to coupon and how to save and this, that, and the other. And, Charlotte, I don't know, maybe we got to come up with some more creative ways to do some things. And, I definitely have some things to talk to you about. So maybe in a couple weeks we'll get together and, you know, we'll go over some things and see if we can't make some more things happen. What do you think?
Sounds awesome.
All right, Charlotte, have a good night. Thanks for what you do. We are going to a commercial, folks. That's Charlotte from stretchingyourbudget.com. Don't forget to check her site out. It is stretchingyourbudget.com. I know I can't talk. I know you guys can barely understand me, but just deal with it. We got to go to another commercial. When we come back, we're coming back with my man Robert Williams, and we're going to talk some taxes. I'm trying my best to talk about it so we can save the good stuff, to, you know, talk to the expert that's about to be on. But, you know, I'm trying. And failed at it miserably, but we'll be right back, folks.
If I can't have you to myself, then life's no fun.
I'd rather be with you,
K-I-R-P Radio!
How many more innocent people?
How many more?
How many more?
What has been the number one cause of unnatural death in history?
Democide, or death by government, has killed 290 million people on record.
Look it up. Go look it up.
In the 20th century, government murdered four times as many people as were killed in all the international and domestic wars combined.
USSR. 61,911,000 people killed.
Hitler's Germany, nearly 21 million people killed.
Japan's imperialism, nearly 6 million people killed.
Western colonization killed over 50 million people.
Pol Pot's Cambodia, funded by the U.S. government, 2 million people killed.
China's Communist Party, as many as 76 million people killed between 1949 and 1987.
And the list goes on and on.
Demand to know why the Department of Homeland Security bought more than 1.6 billion hollow point bullets.
How many more people does government have to kill?
Enough.
Enough.
Demand an end to citizen disarmament.
As an American. As an American citizen.
As a patriot.
For your children.
Enough of the people laying down and letting government kill them en masse after disarming them, as they've done throughout history over and over again.
Now is the time.
It's time.
It's time to realize that when the government takes your guns, people die.
It's time to realize the biggest threat to you and your family is government.
It's time to recognize government is the greatest killer of all time.
Demand they show you the word hunting in the Second Amendment.
Demand our politicians uphold the Constitution and Bill of Rights as they swore to when they took office.
It's time for our leaders to read the Constitution.
It's time for our leaders to obey the Constitution.
The Constitution.
The Constitution.
Because a well-regulated militia with 10-round magazines wouldn't last very long.
So now you know the most dangerous thing to you and your family in the world is government.
Because mass murderers agree, gun control works.
Hey, Cam, thanks a lot for coming to school today.
No problem, Nate.
I promise to exercise and eat right.
Don't forget 60 minutes of play a day, right?
And I'll grow up to be big and strong like you.
Absolutely.
I'm playing the NFL.
Yes, sir.
And be drafted number one.
Maybe.
Become the starting quarterback of the Panthers.
Okay.
You can be my backup.
Excuse me?
And make Panthers fans forget about you.
What?
And become your mom's favorite player.
Whoa.
It is my mission to create brand stories for you that push the envelope, force people to stop, think, and take notice. Ride with you on your journey to success by creating great design that makes you look like the originator and not an imitator. Get you out of your comfort zone. Inspire you to take action. Be risky and always stay true to your passion.
Tiffany Inc. is located in Los Angeles, California. Tiffany Inc. specializes in designs, creative brands for the entertainment, fashion, beauty, and food industries. Some past and present clients include Jewel Osco, J&K Fresh LLC, celebrity chef Nikki Shaw, teen and family producer Doreen Spencer, the National Association of Veterans, the Alzheimer's Association, and a host of fantastic others. To contact Tiffany Inc., all you have to do is log on to www.tiffanyinc.com.
SoundChew, the number one online music tournament, encompasses seven different genres, including hip-hop, R&B, country, reggae, reggaeton, pop, rock, and gospel. Music artists, log on to SoundChew.com to compete for a chance to have exclusive access to music listeners across the globe. Build relationships with other music artists and music professionals, plus maximize your exposure and gain worldwide attention. Music listeners, log on now to enjoy new music from up-and-coming artists. Then, Vote for the songs you like best to ensure that your favorite artist wins. Also, check out the latest in music news. Music execs and producers scout music talent to find your next big star. Musicians and voters, sign up for SoundChew today. That's www.soundchew.com. SoundChew. Once again, that's www.soundchew.com, the number one online music tournament.
Decherie is an online indie department store, born with the ideology, community, and self. We believe that a garment or accessory created by an independent designer can do more for our community on a deeper level. The ability to wear someone's imagination is a beautiful event. Purchasing independence means wearing something unique while supporting those around you. The designers you support could very well be your neighbors, friends, and family. Embrace your indie state of mind. Shop indie. www.decheri.com. Decherie.
Welcome back, folks, to the KRP Radio Show. It's time to get you guys a little bit of weather, and this weather report is brought to you by Miller Marketing and Media, at symbol M3G Inc. Monday, we're looking at 85 degrees, should be clear all day in North Carolina, Burlington, North Carolina, to be exact. 64 will be your low. Tuesday, the 10th, looking at clear again, 87 degrees. Beautiful day, folks. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful day. 65 is a low. Also, Wednesday and Thursday, you're looking at 89 and 88 degrees, both with the low of 65. Friday should be 86 degrees, clear, partly cloudy in the evening. Looks like around 5, 6 p.m. It's going to be a little bit cloudy, folks, with a 10% chance of precipitation with a low of 62 degrees. Maybe that little rain to come through and it's going to cool it off a little bit. And Saturday, we're looking at 79 degrees, no precipitation. 100% sunny and clear. 56 low. Saturday, y'all, it's going to be a great day in North Carolina for some football. It's going to be a great day for anything. Anytime it's sunny like that, you guys should love what it's doing. Anyway, this weather report is brought to you by Miller Marketing and Media. Check them out on Facebook at symbol Miller Marketing and Media or M3G Inc. Moving right along, folks. Sorry, I'm a little bit different tonight. I know I sound a little clustered or a little uneasy, or I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the serious stuff that's getting to me. I mean, you know, I'm stuffy, congested, but I'm not complaining. Thank God I'm excellent. I'm definitely not complaining. I feel great, actually, but, you know, sinuses is a bit touchy or whatever you want to call it. It's bothering me a little bit, but excellent nonetheless. This serious stuff, though, is really getting to me, and it's just crazy how this thing is unraveling, you know, the things that are taking place. It's like, unless you lived under a rock, you should clearly see, and I'm not on the, I don't want to get on the throw Obama under the train bus. I'm not even going there tonight, but this administration has zero leadership whatsoever. I mean, in world politics, zero leadership, you know, and you got people like John McCain jumping on board, you got John Kerry, you got the Clintons. You know, I often, sometimes, and I'm a little bit tongue-tied because there's so much I want to say, but I'm trying not to get into that right now because that's not what we're talking about tonight. But a lot of times I often wonder, who really controls this leadership? Like, who's... I think it's Wizard of Oz, right? I mean, we see President Obama at the forefront of this administration, but I'm looking for the man behind the curtain. Like, there's somebody back there pulling the strings, and, you know, I can almost see the feet from under the curtain. I see the feet, and there's some nice loafers, you know, by the way. They look like they were made in Germany somewhere, and they look like they're really expensive, something that billionaires could afford, if you know what I mean. But, you know, I often wonder who's really running this administration. And another thing, you know, the GOP leadership, is they're shaky too. I mean, it's like it's trickery. I really don't know what's going on. But anyway, this stuff is really bothering me. You know, the more I read and the more reports that come out. And it's not the news that's bothering me. It's the things that the politicians are saying out of their mouths. I mean, these are the same people on both sides of the aisle that many of us, or many of you all, hold so much value and belief in. You know, when you look at Obamacare, you know, that started to peel back the onion so you guys could really find out who was going to do what, you know, or were the people that you elected going to do what they said they were going to do when they were campaigning? You know, the onion is peeling back now. We're getting to the core of this thing. And the closer we get into this Syria thing, the more and the more we see these people come out and they agree or they agree to disagree or, you know, and it's like you don't really understand what people stand for anymore. You don't really understand who's on your side. You don't really understand who opposes, you know, who's for or who's against. And there's really nobody to follow. And I've talked about this politically speaking. And I've talked about this time after time after time again. And people criticize me and they say, well, Pudgy, even though you lean to the right, you know, you're an independent. So your choice has been taken away. But look what's happening. The people you follow in the GOP has failed you again and again and again. The Democrats, let's not even talk about that. You know, let's not even go there. You know, I think there was just a report. There's a confirmed report that NAACP President Ben Jealous has stepped down this year or is to step down this year. You know, that's no shocker. You know, all the damage has been done. You know, they put this guy in place to do all this despicable stuff and to support all this despicable or oppose all this legislation that just makes common sense. You know, you want to talk about voter ID? You know, that just makes common sense. As I tell people all the time, when they want to start talking about voter ID, I always tell people, look, man, this is not, you know, what you're talking about is not the wave of the future. You know, at the end of the day, we're living in 2013. And what we don't want to tell our children that having an ID is somehow racist, you know. You know, it's somehow a bad thing. How can having an ID, which is a piece of government issued identification that you're going to need to get a job with anyway in America, you know, how can we be telling our kids that the way to go is to protest and to get arrested and you shouldn't have to have an ID and you should oppose that premise? You know, how can we really stand up and stand behind it? It's ludicrous, really. So here we are. You got a guy like Ben Jealous who's going to step down because the damage has been done. See, now they got everything they want. We're getting ready to go to war, folks. So you better strap on your boots. You know, kids aren't talking about going to the military anymore. They're going to draft your children. It may not be this war. It may not be the next war. And it may be the war after this. They're going to draft your children because people aren't going to the armed forces at rates that they once did. And can you blame them? I love my country, but the country does not take care of its veterans. Anyway, we're talking about taxes tonight, and I want to welcome to the show our special guest that we have tonight. For all you Twitter followers out there, if you don't have Twitter, go get it. Twitter.com. I'm not giving Twitter any kind of shout outs or advertisement, but I want you guys to follow this guy. I want you to follow us as well at TX Fair Taxer. My man Robert Williams, welcome to the show, sir. How are you?
Good, good. Can you hear me all right?
I can hear you excellent. You sound better than I do.
All right. Yeah, good deal. Hey, I appreciate having me on. Thank you very much. Thanks for all you're doing. You're a real patriot. Love what you've talked about so far tonight. Been really interesting. Kept me awake.
Well, that's a good thing.
You know, back,
to keep you awake.
Yeah. Well, no, I've been out working all day, so I'm exhausted today. Putting up some new fence line. But yeah. You know, back at the beginning of the show, you were talking about, people, not doing the research and, you know, make sure you get out there and do your own research and learn and listen and do all this stuff on your own. And I tell you, man, you nailed it on the head. That's what a lot of people don't do, especially when it comes from your politician. Your politicians are it's not always a case of them lying, but it is. You know as well as I do that, you know, some of them just flat out lie to you, but yeah. a lot of them are just misinformed. 90% of the information that they're passing on to their constituents is researched by minimum wage staff.
Wow.
And if this thing with McDonald's goes through, they'll be making less than the people at McDonald's.
Oh, you better believe it.
And
that's,
you know,
ridiculous. That's crazy.
It is, isn't it? That's just nuts. That's gonna kill the industry.
See,
but,
go for it. No, I was just going to say, people not only don't do the research, they don't think for themselves either. I mean, we used to look at jobs, and I'm not knocking the fast food joints. I'm not knocking the burger joints. I mean, do what you got to do to provide for yourself by all means. But those jobs, and everybody in America, everybody in the world has looked at those fast food jobs as jobs for teens or job for school age kids. And
uh-huh.
You know, there always have been some adults work there. There are awesome success stories behind the McDonald's and the fast food franchises but people don't do the research for themselves and they don't think for themselves. You know, these are individual business owners that predominantly own all of the McDonald's franchises that are in this world. It's not McDonald's the corporation. It's people like you and me who have probably worked our butt off at a McDonald's, maybe saved our dollars, got with a few partners, and said, "Hey, we can do this on our own and open up one ourselves."
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
So
precisely,
these people are going to be punished dearly if this minimum wage,
yep,
if this $15 an hour thing goes through at an unskilled job such as McDonald's. And it's not only that industry; it's going to be all industry. You know, people aren't even talking about that.
Yeah.
It's going to be all industries, not just McDonald's.
Yeah, exactly. And that's going to hurt businesses across the nation. I mean, it's hard enough for businesses to hire someone full-time at $9 an hour right now. It just minimum wage goes up, and so do the part-time jobs.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, you know, I follow your post on Twitter, and you have a lot of awesome things to say, and you put a lot of information out there. If you could just for a minute, you know, let the people know who you are, because we jump right into this thing, but let the people know who you are and your website and your blog and things like that, and then we're going to get down to talking about this fair tax here.
Sure. First off, you know, my name's Robert Williams. I'm TX or Texas Fair Taxer on Twitter. I'm just getting some feedback there. I'm just a draftsman. I've taken the time to do the research and read about all the aspects of the fair tax inside in and out. I've taken the time to find the places where people say they have problems with the fair tax and research further,
yeah,
and found that problems, any of those problems, are either superficial or they're just flat out just made up. A lot of the stuff is, you know, one of the biggest issues with the fair tax is that it takes the power away from Congress to play favorites. Mm-hmm. So they're going to be the biggest liars of it.
Yeah.
And they start lying to their constituents, and their constituents start lying to their friends about it, and you know, it just propagates, and I say lying kind of facetiously because it's mostly just a lot of just misinformation.
Sure.
But yeah, I work a full time job. I'm an AutoCAD draftsman. You know, I make $45,000 a year. I'm married to a great wife. She's a small business owner. She runs her own software development company, if you will. So you know, I've taken the time to learn a lot about taxes for me,
yeah,
for my wife, and for her family, which her family is a lot of farmers down here in South Texas. They have a very large farming community down here. So you know, I've taken the time to get in and learn about from all the different aspects. And, I fell in love with it, you know, within a week of learning about it. I fell in love with it, and I've been pushing it for over 3 years.
Wow. I wonder why, I don't wonder why, you know, so many politicians seem to be scared of the fair tax. You know, when Herman Cain was out here yelling his 999 plan and he was advocating for a flat tax or a fair tax, if you will, people were afraid of that. They didn't want that. They didn't want anything to do with it either. And, you know, what exactly is a fair tax, really, in your words?
Well, the fair, are you talking a fair tax or the fair tax?
Well, the fair tax,
okay,
not a fair tax, the fair tax.
You know, the fair tax, basically, it's a consumption tax. That's going to that will replace all of your income taxes. And when I say all of your income taxes, any income slash payroll based taxes. So you know, you're looking at on average 15% income tax that you'll be getting back. Your portion of the payroll tax, which is 7.65%. Gift taxes, the AMT, which is alternative minimum tax, estate tax, which there's a business killer right there. It'll replace the estate tax and basically anything to do with income. It removes business-to-business taxes, and it replaces it all with, hold your breath here, but with a 23%. Tax on the consumption of new goods and services. And when I say new goods, I mean that's just new goods. If a tax hasn't been paid on it, the fair tax would apply. Anything that the tax has already been paid on will be considered used, and
Absolutely.
There's no fair tax on that. The whole premise of the fair tax is to tax once and only once the consumption of all new goods and services. It will eliminate all of the hidden taxes that we pay now, which on average I believe it's 22% of the price of products that we buy today, new and used, carry these hidden taxes, which it's estimated that I think 85 to 90% of those hidden taxes would be eliminated from the price of products.
Right.
So, you know, there's a lot of good in the fair tax, and it's just really is getting the information out there to people, and that's what I'm trying to do.
Are there? It seems like to me, from what I understand on the fair tax, And man, I've been advocating this thing for a little over 2 years now, maybe three. And, you know, people that listen to this show commonly know that I support the fair tax. And to me, it makes common sense. Again, when things make common sense and it's not very complicated, to me, you know, I'm going to push for that, especially when in terms of politics and taxes and things are what's most beneficial to the American citizens. But, you know, doesn't the fair tax give the power to the people, so to speak?
It does. It would return the power to pay taxes back. It would put the power to pay taxes back in the hands of U.S. citizens for the first time in over 100 years. It's, you know, we've had the income tax now for 100 years, 1913.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So, yes, and, you know, if you don't want to pay tax, I'm not going out this weekend. Plain and simple.
That's right.
You know, I was going to buy a new car this weekend. You know what? Government pissed me off. I'm going to wait. I don't need a new car. Maybe I'll go buy a used car. You know?
Yeah.
And that's what people like you and I can do.
Right.
The rich, you know, and I say the rich, I say that kind of facetiously too, because there's this huge class warfare thing going on with the liberals.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure you've seen it on my Twitter page. I'm constantly getting into fights about with liberals about how the rich don't pay their fair share, and they really don't have the same options that we do in buying used. They've got to live up to an image amongst their friends. You know, you'd never see someone like Bill Gates or Steve Forbes driving around in a 78 Chevy pickup, you know what I mean?
Nope.
It's just, what's that they don't have?
No, they don't have that option. They can't.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Yep. They don't.
Wow.
Another thing you were, you talked about earlier too, was that talking about the how the poor don't read the tax code.
Yeah,
I agree 100%. The rich don't pay tax, don't read the tax code either. But it really affects the poor when they don't. The rich have their attorneys and lawyers that they can pay to go read the tax code for them if they need to.
That's right.
But the poor don't have that option. And this one good thing about the fair tax is, fair tax is as easy or as simple as buying a candy bar. Plain and simple. You don't have to go up to the cash register and go, is the fair tax on this or on this? And it's not like that. You don't have to worry about it. Like I said just a few minutes ago, if you don't want to pay tax, you don't have to. But the poor have more options with the fair tax. They, the fair tax will untax them. It will untax all spending up to, and this is depending on the family size, but about $2,500 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, that's a lot. It puts, the federal income tax back in their paycheck, which, that's the biggest thing right there. I mean, most everybody, even the poor, are at least in the 10%, but most are probably in the 15% tax bracket. And with the payroll tax also being taken out for the first 100,000, which, there's a highly regressive tax right there, is the payroll tax. I mean, that just, once you get over, I think it's 113,000 right now, it's gone up to, you're not taxed. So, most of the poor are really hit hard by that payroll tax. And it gets rid of that too. So, putting the FICA, and I'm throwing out keywords out there because some people know stuff by one name and by another, but You know, your Social Security, Medicare, FICA taxes are what I'm talking about there with your payroll taxes. And you know, you get all that back. If you just look at one of your pay stubs, you'd be probably be amazed by the amount of money you'd get back every paycheck for the rest of your life. You know, and to pay the 23% at the register, which wouldn't really even be 23% because the fair tax also has the prebate, which that's where the where you're untaxed up to that that $2,500 I was saying. So yeah, there are a lot of benefits to the fair tax for the poor. It's really designed to help them the most.
I think if people would really pay attention to what's going on and read it for themselves, they would immediately call for action and want, you know, a fair tax in this whole country. You know, we're led by workers. I mean, that's what this country is made up on, people who get up every morning, you know, get dressed and go to work and pay bills at the end of the week or you know, bi-monthly or monthly. You know, that's what this country is made up on, hardworking people. And if people really had the information, you know, I think that they would really support the fair tax. But what happens, it gets torn upon and broken apart, you know, by people who have political agendas. You know, not people like myself who rather I lean right according to history. You know, today I sit right in the middle because, you know, we need people to hold both sides honest. And you know, that's just who I am, you know, explaining who I am myself. But despite of all of that, if people would really just understand what's happening with the tax structure and how we keep, you know, getting more taxes for this and increases for that and so many more regulations, if people would really pay attention to that, you know, it would be really simple to move to the fair tax system, I believe so. It's unfortunate that it gets broken down and torn apart from, you know, people who have their own personal agendas or their political agendas or what may have you. You know, this thing really works. I was going to ask you too, you know, but you answered the question I was going to ask you, is it most beneficial for everybody? But, you know, it's obvious in the words that you said and how you explained it that it is. Are there any drawbacks to the fair tax?
It takes power away from politicians. That's the real main drawback. There are a couple of small little things that you know, the fair tax isn't perfect. I'm not going to claim it is. It's not, but it is the best option to what we have now.
Right.
Let me just say rent, for instance, and I don't know a whole lot about this, but the fair tax is currently, and I say currently because there are some people who are working on trying to get this removed from the fair tax. So, but as it's written right now, the fair tax includes rent, which you and I both know a lot of poor people. I'd say a good 90% of poor people rent. I don't know too many poor people who own their own home. You know, there's some lower income individuals who might own their own home, and there's some on fixed incomes. But I'd say a good 85 to 90% of poor people rent. And so what? The fair tax currently, as it's written right now, is figured in with the rent. But that we're hoping that we can get that changed. We've got some people in the fair tax circles who are working on getting that removed from the bill the next time it comes around. We know the likelihood of it being passed in this Congress with this administration is absolutely nil. But that doesn't mean we're not going to stop pushing it. We need to keep getting the information out there. And actually, right now, I think we have the most sponsors and co-sponsors that we have ever had We're up, in fact, it's the most that any tax plan has ever had. And that we're up to, I believe it is 79 sponsors / co-sponsors in both the House and Senate. So it's growing every year or every session. Last session, I think it was at 72 or 76. And we've still got a lot of time left in this session, so we're still working on congressmen and senators to get their co-sponsorship. So we're hoping by 2020, from what I understand, that at least by 2020 we can get it out there for a vote and get America back on the right track.
I hope so. This is definitely a big step in people at least keeping money in their own pocket, you know, without it being finagled and taken away by regulation after regulation. You know, people want to spend their own money. We don't want to tax it away. And, you know, here's what I see, and I'm sure you see, in the real world. And the political world doesn't see this, but I live in a world where people have to finagle their dependents to bring home more money. You know, I live in a world where people, you know, have to sell their dependency of their dependents to someone for a tax rebate or a tax benefit. You know, where people have to lie, cheat, and steal and grab hold and hide their assets, you know, just to have tax freedom. And this is crazy that these are the things that are talked about. Because, you know, it takes the power away from politicians, and they want to keep this power. You know, one thing about politicians, majority of them, they get consumed by power, you know, but it's power that we give them. It's almost a celebrity, and I've talked about this in the show before, probably in many shows before, but, you know, we put politicians on the same pedestal as we do celebrities for some odd reason. But at the end of the day, they're just employees that we pay. And I'll never understand that. You know, to save my life, I'll never understand that. And these people won't push the things that we really want, like the fair tax. You know, it would take an ignorant person to not want to do away with FICA. And, you know, again, another key term there, but to not want to do away with FICA and take the money that we earn every single day that we get paid for by hour, by salary, day, month, week, or whatever, you know, to take that money away. It would take an idiot to say, hey, you don't deserve the right to your own money and to spend your own money or deciding to keep your own money. You know, it'd take an idiot not to understand that and not to support that.
Yep.
So,
and yeah, you were talking earlier about the Wizard of Oz. So I think the Oz, if you open that curtain, you'll see a few people. George Soros, for one. Alinsky is another one. You know, these are people. They're socialists, and their socialism that they're trying to bring to America is slowly, like a cancer, it is just eating away at our internals, and it's sickening to just watch. You know, friends of mine who were once you know, staunch conservatives are now acting like the socialism is the next best thing. It's just I can't understand it.
You know, it's part of it is identification. Like people want to identify themselves as caring, loving. I think most people, you know, they want to identify themselves as caring, loving. They don't want to be a hater. You know, they want people to have, and they don't want to be seen as a bigot or as prejudiced or any of those terms that are thrown out there. You know, people want to identify themselves as likable, as lovable. And when you start talking about things like health care, things like, you know, tax benefits, you know, stuff that the government feels like they have to ration to us, you know, when actually we can live without them. and it's scary to me that, you know, people would support legislation that would give the government sole power to mandate health care or to mandate a tax structure that we have no control out of. Now, what we're talking about is our individual rights to live. You know, the legislation that's been passed tax-wise and health care-wise could frankly kill us, whether it kill you by taking your money or kill you by putting you on some kind of medication that your body just rejects, but you have no choice over because it costs too much for the other stuff. Yep. But when you don't control that in your own lives and you give that power to anyone else who can personally identify with you and what you're going through in your house, it's a lose-lose. You just become a number. You're just a big number thrown into the sky, and no one's really paying attention to you, you know?
Yep.
This is what we're dealing
with,
man.
Politicians are richer.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You're right. Absolutely. Yep.
So, you know, I don't know. Let me run something by you real quick. I'm not even going to go to a commercial. 619-638-8559. Hit number one if you got a comment. We'll take some calls maybe here in a sec. I just want to run something by you here and ask your opinion on it. I don't know how familiar you are with what's going on in North Carolina or what was just done in North Carolina. But we've just had tax reform. You know, we've just had an overhaul over our tax structure, tax code here in North Carolina. And,
you know, I think
one
I do remember hearing something. Sorry.
Yeah,
I do remember hearing something.
No, you're fine. Yeah, you're fine. We're having a conversation. So, you know, here's one thing, the hope that this Republican-led, you know, Congress has done here in North Carolina and government in North Carolina, the hope is that, you know, we'll get some new economic activity and you know, to compensate for some of the $2.4 billion in revenue loss, you know, over the next 5 years, hopefully. You know, hopefully we'll get some reforms out of that. But, you know, we've just had an overhaul. And starting in 2014, the individual tax rate is going to be 5.8%. And then it's going to fall to 5.7%, maybe 5.75, I can't remember, in 2015. And, you know, those rates are down quite a bit from 6.7 and 7.75 rates that are currently in effect. Now, you know, there are people out here that's talking about, you know, the rich are getting richer off this tax overhaul. It's not a good thing for poor people. So let me go to another part here. Now, you follow me with the percentages, right? 5.8 uh-huh. going to 5.7 in 2015. Okay.
Uh-huh.
The standard deduction now, since people are talking about what's not beneficial for poor people, the standard deduction will more than double. Okay. $7,500 for singles from $3,000 and $15,000 for married couples filing jointly from $6,000. Now, what kind of benefit is that for the average worker in North Carolina, in your opinion?
Oh, man.
I know I didn't prepare you for this.
Yeah. I don't know if that really would have much of a benefit. Yeah, I don't know what to say. I'd have to look. I'd have to look at that and see what. Because, you know, with the tax rates dropping from, what'd you say, 6.5-ish or so?
Yeah.
And then
yeah, from,
doubling the...
Yeah, the tax rate is going to drop from, it's currently 7.75%, and it's going to drop to 5.8%. That's individual tax income. In 2015, it's going to fall to 5.75%. So we're saving 2%. Off of the individual tax rate. So that's going to go down. You know, the standard deduction for people filing taxes is going to increase for singles to $7,500 from $3,000, and for married couples it's going to $15,000 from $6,000. Now, also, there's a corporate income tax, too, that, and I don't remember the numbers right now. I think it was I think it's going to be reduced to like 6% from 7%, somewhere around there. It's going to drop like 5%, go to 5% in 2015. I think that's right. I might be off by a half percent somewhere here or there, but ultimately we're going to have a reduction in corporate income tax as well. So a lot of people saying that by sweetening the tax pot, you know, that's going to be a huge kick for the rich. You know, we're not doing anything for the poor. Poor people aren't going to be able to make it. Poor people are going to lose more money. And frankly, I just don't see that. I think this is a big step in the right direction. You know, a lot of businesses would like to come to North Carolina, but we don't play ball. You know, the people in North Carolina would like more money to spend, but, of course, they don't have it. We got the highest gas tax in the Southeast, or maybe the third highest gas tax in the Southeast. I think it's the eighth highest in the nation, you know, right here in North Carolina. So, you know, I believe personally that the more people have and the more power that they have in control of their own money, you know, they'll decide when they need to spend, and that will make the economy better, personally. I don't think that the government can do anything in terms of creating jobs themselves, you know, but what they can do is help us with the tax structure or do away with the tax code altogether, if you ask me.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
It is. That is a lot. And, you know, I'm still running through my head the standard deduction thing to, you know, if you're lowering your taxes and doubling the standard deduction, you know, I'm sure they're trying to benefit the state. Well, obviously wants to benefit, but you know, are they actually going to lose revenue off of that, or you know, because that might make it harder for some people if they do that. You know, I'm not too familiar with that part of the income tax. And, you know, standard deduction usually just means that it's the amount that reduces the amount of income which you're taxed, right? I mean, that's the same way it is in North Carolina.
The standard deduction. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, I mean, if they're doubling the standard deduction, they're doubling the standard deduction, right? So
yeah, means people who don't write off who don't have any write offs or any assets would get a standard deduction, a higher standard deduction than they have before. You know, normally the standard deduction would start off at $3,500, but if it went to $7,500, ultimately that's money that those people would save.
Yeah, okay, I got you. Yeah, I was thinking, at first I was thinking backwards for some reason, and yeah, I understand. But yeah, I think that, you know, that would probably help to an extent, but you have to make more than that in order to be able to deduct it. So, I mean, that's just those are just maximums, right? So, yeah, if you're not making that much, then it's gonna help the higher income earners more than it would lower.
But to me, what this helps is the working class, because, you know, frankly, if you're making less than $8,000 a year and you're an adult, no matter what we do with the tax system, it's not going to benefit you at all. You know, whether we had a flat tax, fair tax, no tax, you know, at the end of the day, it's not going to affect you at all outside of what you buy.
Yeah.
You know, so exactly. There again would
bare
be
minimum anyways.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So what we need is something, a more push for the working class, you know, something that will benefit the working class more. And I think that this will be I think that this is a great step towards, you know, a fair tax system, to the point where, you know, hey, if we see good results from, you know, these the reduction in the percentages, if we see good results from that, you know, maybe we can sweeten the pot a little more for the working class. Maybe we can, you know, go from 5% to 3%, maybe from 3% to 1%, and ultimately they'll just tax the goods that we buy, the new goods, you know, instead of going the other way, saying that, well, we need to tax goods more. They need to pay 10% and 15%, and then not only tax new things, but tax used items that people buy. You know, that's what's going to put that's what's going to piss working class off, and that's what puts people in the poorhouse. And this is what we've been doing in this country, not only in North Carolina, but in every state in this republic since 1913.
It has been. It's going. It's been going backwards the way that it should. You know, and it's like the more you work now, the more you're punished for doing that work. So people are getting smart and they're just taking part-time jobs. but that doesn't help America grow. It doesn't help the economy. It just, you know, keeps people minimized. And maybe, you know, that's probably one of the socialist agendas is to neutralize America, you know.
Oh, it is. It definitely is. People like George Soros, they have their money. I follow this guy money, you know, his donations and the things that he does. And you know, when people say, oh, he's not that bad, he's just a campaign contributor. You know, these type of guys put money on both sides of the aisle, first of all. You know, and that's something that they do. You know, they play the stock market really heavy. They got the inside trading going on. You know, these type of people are demonic to me. You know, as close to the devil as you can get. And, you know, I've seen where George Soros, and I'm sorry, man, I just... People don't have to like me for this comment. It is what it is, and I always say something controversial. But, you know, why would a Nazi youth in George Soros, call it what it is, why would a Nazi youth like George Soros put $4 million into the black community in the United States without some sort of benefit from it? You know,
exactly.
I don't get that. What benefits would that make for George Soros? He's just not that type of humanitarian. If you look at his record, he's not the nicest guy in the world. He's not a guy to wake up in the morning and say, you know what, I think I'll give away $2 billion today. You know, this guy's a player. With every donation that he throws out there, with every cause that he so chooses to support, you know, it's something in it for him. You know, this is a guy who made his riches off the destruction of a country, of several countries, by the way. You know, this is not a nice guy. So,
exactly.
You know, these people do want to see the destruction. I think they want to see a one-world currency. I think that's going to bust open their bank accounts and cash is in their eyes. And, you know, they want to see a numero or they want to see a North American Union or something to the magnitude of that. You know, these are the guys behind the curtain, if you ask me.
Yep, I agree. And you know, the fair tax would put an end to all of that. With zero corporate tax rates, you know, we're looking at 10 million new jobs opening up within just the first year or two. You know, all the jobs that were lost overseas because, you know, it's cheaper to build something overseas and bring it back into the U.S. You know, that's another thing I like about the fair tax is that it puts America on a level playing field with the rest of the world. Excuse me. You know, every other country in the OECD, they tax their imports and they untax their exports. And that is because the other countries, when they import something, they tax it. So, you know, with us, we've got our tax on top of their tax, and it makes it more expensive to sell product overseas.
Sure.
And it's, you know, just the opposite coming in. It's easier to buy foreign-made goods than it is to buy our own products.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
And the fair tax will change that around. It'll put us back on a level playing field with the rest of the world, and we will be competitive, which, you know, that's great. Whether if our products aren't made well, they're not going to sell. But at least they won't be overburdened by taxes.
Robert, what do you think it would take to get the fair tax passed at this point?
A lot of education. A lot of education. There are people out there like Bruce Bartlett who still mm-hmm. fails to see mm-hmm. the benefits. And you know, there's a lot of information out there for all the parties, I should say. You know, I know we're a two-party system, but I look at everybody as either liberal or conservative. You know, that's pretty much, you're in one of two groups with me. If you're not a conservative, you're a liberal.
Yep.
And I know there are libertarians and there are people that, you know, but it's education. And, you know, we have a lot of information out there about the fair tax. You know, I'm always asking people, go do the research. Do the research yourself, you know, just sit down for a day. And you don't have to read everything. Read the highlights, you know, until something catches your eye. If you read something bad about the fair tax, or if you read something good about the fair tax, keep reading. You know, because there's a lot of myths, there's a lot of misinformation. So if you find something bad about the fair tax, you're going to find that the information has been refuted, or it was just false. And you know, that's the problem with a lot of people is that they'll read and they'll go, oh, okay, well, this is a scam, or this isn't any good, and they'll just leave it at that. You know.
Yeah, I hear that a lot of the times. This is just a scam, and we need to leave it alone, and you know, it's not so bad, and it they're right though. It's not so bad. It's horrible. You know, it's horrible. A lot of people have seen bankruptcy because of the current tax structure that we have that did not have to see bankruptcy. And, I'm not talking about people who have spent, you know, so crazy, or, you know, people who haven't paid attention to their finances. But, I mean, a whole lot of good people that just get caught up in this tax code that we don't have to have. And it's insane, you know. You know, let me ask you this. Let me scale back for a second, you know, and we'll let you go here in just a few minutes. But I just want to ask you if you knew who came up with the fair tax and where this originated from.
This originated from five businessmen in Texas. Leo Lindbeck Jr., who just passed away recently, I think within the past year. I don't remember the exact date. He and I'm sure you're familiar with Bob McNair, owner
Absolutely.
Of the Dallas Cowboys.
Yep.
Those two, and I'm not sure if I have all the names on the other three, but it was five businessmen from Texas got together, and they were complaining about the taxes that they had to fill out, and they decided to come up with a new system. Now, they didn't just willy-nilly write down that, you know, the fair tax needs to be 23%, and we're only taxing new goods and this and that. No, they actually put their money back behind research and had universities do the research on the best tax system. And 23 million dollars later.
Wow.
The fair tax was created, and this was back in I believe it was 1996, 1995 or so. But the fair tax has been in every Congress since the 106, and we are in the 113th now, I believe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, 16 years-ish, is that right?
So, you know, and it has been revised slightly since then. You know, there have been minor changes to the tax code, to the fair tax code, which, you know, if you printed out the fair tax code, you can fit it. Actually, I have one on my blog. It's actually 34 page PDF, as opposed to the 86,000 pages of the income tax code that's out there right now.
Mm-hmm.
34 page PDF is what I have it condensed to. It's not the easiest thing to read for someone who doesn't know legalese. I tried to read it a couple of times when I first started researching the fair tax, and I couldn't just sit down and read it. But when I was asked about something, I could go back and research and look into the bill and see, okay, this is what that means. So it is understandable, and it's very concise. But it's not as concise, or it's not as short as the flat tax.
Right.
The flat tax code, from what I understood, could be printed on 17 pages.
Wow. Really?
And you know, short isn't always good. That means there's a lot of loopholes. There's a lot of general information in there, but there's a lot of loopholes. The fair tax closes those loopholes. The way it's written, what it includes, what it doesn't include,
mm-hmm.
how you can if you're a business and you buy a car for the business and use it, and then, as you know, say you're the business owner, and then you transfer it over to your personal use, okay? As a business, you wouldn't pay tax on that. But in the transfer, the fair tax outlines all this, is how you would pay the tax, or I believe it's a partial tax, on the transfer of that vehicle.
Uh-oh.
So, you know, the fair tax has, and that's just an example. It has stuff like that written in it, and it actually spells a lot of stuff out, so there aren't any loopholes, which is really good because it prevents politicians from playing tax favors.
yeah, that's what they're good at. They're good at that.
You know, lobbying is huge in D.C.
Yes, sir.
But you know, the lobbying in D.C., I don't know if this number is correct or not. I've heard it's 50%, and I'm just going to use this example, even if it is or if it isn't, you know, whatever percentage it actually is what it would eliminate. But let's say 50% of the lobbyists in D.C. are lobbying for tax breaks. You know, going up to the politicians and saying, "I'll give you $1 million if you can ensure my product gets a tax break." And you know, to put this into perspective, I'm sure you're familiar with Solyndra.
Oh yes, I am.
All right.
I love to talk about Solyndra. love it. Especially with all this healthcare talk too, by the way, Robert, with their
uh-huh.
history too.
Yep. That was a lobbying. You know, that was basically lobbying. And the thing is politicians couldn't do that under the fair tax, because the only thing that is tax-free are necessities.
That's right.
And who defines those necessities? We the people define our own necessities.
my necessities aren't the same as your necessities. Say I'm a 20-year-old college student that lives off of Dr. Pepper and Cheez-Its. If that's what I deem necessary for my survival, then so be it. That's my choice.
That's right.
You know, and no politician should have the right to tell me that that those aren't necessities for me. So, you know, there's the fair tax fixes a lot of stuff. You know, and it's not just the politicians. It fixes, you know, and it, I say fix. I shouldn't say it fixes, but it
improves at least
a lot of. There are a lot of hidden benefits to the fair tax. Illegal immigration, for one. You know, one of the main incentives, and it's not every incentive. There are other incentives for illegal immigrants to come here. But one of the main incentives for illegal immigrants to come here is tax-free work.
Yeah.
Because they know that they don't have to file taxes, and the employers know, as much as the IRS wants to crack down on them, it's not going to get them all. You know, so the fair tax would remove the incentive of tax-free work because they would actually have to pay taxes on their necessities. And that's part of the prebate, which I don't know if we got a chance to talk about. But you can definitely count on me calling back in sometime. You know, we can talk about other aspects of the fair tax. And, you know, if any of your callers have questions, anything like that, we can address those too.
Oh, man, you know, I'll definitely be looking forward to that. And I always get a lot of questions after the show, like a lot of questions through email. It's different. You always explain to people it's different from AM, and we're well over 13 million listeners too, by the way. Shout out to all my listeners out there. You guys are definitely B.I.G. in my book, but a lot of listeners are archived, and, you know, a lot of people will send email afterwards or they'll make a comment on something, and, you know, oftentimes I'll find it 2 weeks later trying to sort through the mail.
Wow.
You know, and yeah, it becomes a little bit, I won't say overwhelming, but busy. And, you know, it's not like FM radio. We did some AM for a while, but they didn't like some of my talking points being that I lean to the right. So, you know how that goes.
Yeah.
But it is what it is. We, you know, we fought through it and kept on moving. But, you know, it's different from FM because FM at any given time in any given market, you know, they can easily get 10 callers to call in and do a giveaway because, you know, let's face it, they have anywhere from 4 to 15 or 20 million listeners at once. That are listening, and their pot is a lot bigger. So, you know, I like this platform because it's not controlled, and we can talk about things like the fair tax without somebody looking at us out of the corner of their eye, and if they are, we can't see them. So, you know, it's fine.
Nope.
You know, I appreciate folks like you that come on here and, you know, spill out nothing but the truth and, you know, help people understand, you know, what's given such a bad rap. And, you know, the fair tax is, man, I've looked at it, and, you know, I got nothing to gain to get on this radio show every week and tell people false information. I got nothing in the world to gain from that, nothing.
Yep.
So I always tell people, you know, what do I get from pushing this message? You know, what do I get from inviting these people on to share their knowledge with you? I get nothing but gratification from the truth, you know, for the truth. So, you know, I appreciate people like yourself that can come on this show and, you know, give these folks some truth in what's really happening out there and help people understand what they clearly don't understand. So, and the fair tax happens to be one of them. So, you know, thanks for taking the time and you know, your work today. And I appreciate you taking the time to come on the show and, you know, talking about this topic.
Well, I appreciate you having me on. It's really enjoyable. I like your show, and yeah, you got another listener, so I appreciate
it, John. Hey, Robert, right before you go, we always do shout outs, so I want you to tell the people first of all where they can find your blog, where they can find you on Twitter, And you got to give a shout out, man.
Sure, sure. Hey, you know, shout out to all my my Fair Tax followers and friends out there if they're listening. I've got you know, anybody wants to get on with the real Fair Tax people out there. Their Twitter is at symbol Fair Tax Official. They do the real Fair Tax tweets, and real big shout out to Fair Tax Nation. FairTaxNation.com is the largest community of Fair Tax followers and information advocates. We have community and events there that people can get into. My blog is Fair Taxer. That's just excuse me. Almost the same as my my Twitter, just without the TX. It's just the fairtaxer.com. And then you know, you can always get me on Twitter at symbol TX Fair Taxer. So I appreciate it, Pudgy. Thank you very much.
Hey, no problem. And look, man, have a blessed week. Get some rest, my brother, and we'll catch you next Sunday. Call in sometime.
You too. I hope that cold goes away, huh?
But yeah, I got a couple months, man. I'm prepared to deal with it.
All right.
Hey, thanks
right.
again.
Thanks, brother. All right, thanks.
All right, take care.
All right, have a good one.
That's Robert Williams from at symbol TX Fair Taxer, holding it down, coming through the KRP radio show, and we definitely appreciate him coming through, showing us a lot of love. And we're out of here, folks. It is time to close the show. A little bit early this week, but you know it is what it is. You guys always rocking with us, always checking out the show. And the good thing about it is that you always can come to this show and get some quality information from some quality people. They don't have to be celebrities. They don't have to be some sort of social media personalities. You know, just quality, good, hardworking people that happens to know a little bit about a little and a lot about a lot. So, as normal, I always challenge you guys to communicate with someone that you don't know. When you bypass somebody, say hello, speak, do something, because communication is the cure to what else is most of the time. Check us out. God is love. Love is God. I am out of here next Sunday, same time, same place, at symbol KRP Radio Show, at symbol NC Pudgy, KRPRadioShow.com. We're also on Facebook, Facebook.com/KRPRadioShow. And if you missed the show, check us out on KRPRadioShow.com. Make sure you guys order a T-shirt, man. I love the KRP Radio Show. That's going to be a popular shirt one day if you guys keep supporting it. I really appreciate what you do, and we'll talk to you guys next week. I'm out.
Real gon' recognize, real gon' recognize, real gon' recognize, real, real. Phony gon' recognize, still, still, I reckon I will.
Like we always do with this time, I go for mine, I get to shine. Now throw your hands up in the sky.